2 years I was away, lots of things happened. My parents moved just down to Church Street to Markham Holtby, used to live there, and we moved into their house, which was a two-bedroom, next door to the Gators. They'd moved, his parents had moved up, I think, to John Galt's, I'm not sure. I didn't spend much time, I was working mainly away. I didn't spend much time there, I can't remember. Those 2 years, my grandmother and grandfather died. So lots of things happened. Well, my father, that's when my father had thrombosis and collapsed. I was away in Germany. And they were going to bring me home because he was dying. And I said, oh, get your kit together. I couldn't see you going on. My father's dying. Anyway, we got another message. It survived, so I never got that leave. People told me he used to go in the middle of the wreck with these two sticks and throw them as far as he could away and make himself walk. He used to do that every day. When I came out of the army, all my work was away. I left Boyle and Kurtz to another firm in Anslet, who we did church restoration. I used to travel all around England doing church restoration. So I was very rarely home.
When you were younger then, and living in... Well, did you go to church or chapel?
We occasionally went to church. We were at Christmas, it was. Christmas Eve service in the church. A friend of ours, he came out from the pub drunk. And he staggered down the pub. Because the vicar was at church. And I could tell you his name, but he staggered down drunk from... the high of the church to have his drink of wine. He collapsed on the steps of the altar. We thought it was funny. I don't know whether it was or not. But we went occasionally to chapel. Now, another sneaky thing, we used to go to the chapel down Church Street, and your name was recorded as you went in. And we used to go and climb out the toilet window at the back. And disappear up Swillington. But if you had your name, you could go on the trip to Scarborough or wherever it was on the bus, chapel trip. So that's what we used to do: get the name recorded and climb out the toilet windows at the back. But we spent so much time. I haven't told you about the greyhound racing, have I? Yet the greyhound track. Now that was down the air. River Ayr on the bank. So you went to what was the old mill. Remember, the pit stacks ran along by the river, and the end where the canal joined the river. So barges used to go from Leeds down the River Ayr and then join the canal at that junction there. The River Ayr used to be joined to the canal. I don't know if you knew the locks. It had locks. Right, well, just down the green there was a green, big flat area. They had a greyhound track that was marked out in a horseshoe with wooden pegs. And it had a trap for the four greyhounds, a big box fitted four slots for greyhounds. And the trap went off. It was, the mechanism was inner tube tyres, car or motorbike inner tube tyres. Fastened back, and when they pulled the bolt out, it used to flip up, and the dogs used to shoot out. Now, the rabbit was rabbit skin on the end of a long cord, which used to go around his pegs, to a bicycle, which was bolted to a wooden base. And the back wheel was a slightly bigger, wider wheel, and made it wider to have all the cord wrapped around, right? And the guy used to pedal, you see, and the rabbit skin used to follow the cord round, that the dogs used to chase after it. And there was a bit of gambling. They had a smoke out upon the stacks watching fleas, because they were doing gambling there. And we were up there one weekend when Arthur Smith, I haven't told you, Arthur Smith's father had a greyhound, and he used to run it there. And these two greyhounds bounced it on one of the bends, and Arthur's dog flew up in the air and landed on its neck and broke its neck. But it was the first time I'd ever seen an adult man cry because his dog got killed. But he got another one straight away.
And how many spectators would there be?
bar, there was only a lot of men. A few men stood around and taking bets and things, you know. Depended on the weather and what day it was and how they'd arranged it all. But that was the Grail jacket. Now, if I can go back to Arthur Smith's father. Now, Arthur Smith was... He was one of the big boys, but he used to look after me. And they lived in, Church Street next to me. Arthur Smith's mother and Ellen MacFadden's mother were sisters, and they lived next door to one another. Anyway, Arthur this day said, "Come on, Johnny, come in, look at this." And I went into the front room. There was a fireplace, usual fireplace. And on either side, there were cupboards. And he opened his cupboard doors at the bottom. There was this big pile of boxing belts. You know, the big, huge boxing belts with silver lettering and shields and things on them. They were his father's. His father had been a boxer. Now, what weight, I don't know he was, but he was a very taciturn man, as Arthur's Harold. And he used to come on from the pit, have his dinner, and off with his greyhound walking. He used to walk for miles with his greyhound every night. But he'd been a fighter. Where he'd fought, I don't know. But he must have had six belts, at least, just dumped in the bottom of the cupboard. Beautiful, beautiful boxing belts, yeah.
Your dad didn't fight in the First World War, did he?
Yes, he did. He went to France, yes, yes. He went to France, and he was there only about 6 months before the war ended. He was lucky. He was in the artillery. And he came home, and he said everybody in France was covered in lice. And when he came home to, they were living at Kutsack at the time, his mother's house. He said, "I got to the front door, I took all my clothes off and set fire to them. I burnt all his clothes." Stood in the street naked, burning his clothes before he... And then they got a bath out in the front, filled it with hot water, and he had a bath before it, and shaved and got rid of his hair, body hair, before he went in the house. It was so bad, the lice, he said, it was terrible. Uncle Harry Norton, he was one of the last amateur players, and he played for Sheffield United as an amateur player. He played for Sheffield United, and he still worked down the pit, because he was an amateur, you see. But he was one of these men who refused to go out on strike, the big strike, and he ran out on the pitch one Saturday, and all the crowd started shouting, "Blackleg, blackleg, blackleg," which he was, I guess, yeah. So he said he never played football again. He said he was an amateur, he wasn't getting paid from the club, he was getting paid for working down the mine, but he wouldn't go out on strike, you see. That was his problem. The crowd called blackleg, and that was it. He refused to play, and he never played again. My grandfather was a well-known runner, actually, as well as being a blacksmith. And I was told that he could jump over a five-barred gate with a standing jump. These were the old guys in the village who told me this. Anyway, Anslet Rugby League had I think it was a 100-year centenary. Could have been 100 years, it could have been less, but they had a big centenary in Anslet. And they had a race for over 65s. And my grandfather was that time, he was 75, I think. And it was in the Wakefield Express, I think. Oh, no, it was in the Leeds paper, Yorkshire Evening Post. A photograph of him and an interview with my grandmother. And my grandma called him a silly old fool who trained on beer and cigarettes. Anyway, he went to this race and he won the race. He was the oldest there and he won the race. That's the first time I really knew he was a runner, you know, but he was. He was